Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, U.S. Airlines say no to the idea of new size carry-on bags, and Uber loses a critical decision in a California court.
If you're fond of the PBS series Downton Abbey, be with us at 3:18 when we talk about how you can make the Abbey come to life.
And we continue our living history discussion with mention of a special Great Gatsby weekend on Mackinac Island.
At 3:35, we talked to one of our KFBK news team about driving for a ride-sharing service. The best and perhaps worst parts of this popular way to supplement your income.
And finally, at 3:45, we save the best for last and invite you to call in and share your favorite story about traveling with your dad. The best stories will win a $50 dining gift card. All that today on a Not As Hot As Yesterday Sunday with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Chickens, I want the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Ah, welcome, welcome. It's Sunday afternoon, a few minutes after 3 o'clock, and we are the Travel Guys. Tom Romano is off today. I am Mark Hoffman.
And I'm road reporter Clayton Whitehead, filling in for Tom.
Hi, welcome, Clayton, to the Travel Guys. We are here. Thank you for joining us. We hope you'll spend about the next 55 minutes with us, and we'll try to make you a little smarter traveler and maybe make you give you a few things to think about in the world of traveler. How are you, Mr. Whitehead?
I am great. It is a wonderful weekend to be alive.
It's a nice Sunday in Sacramento. I was on the East Coast all week, and I kept hearing about how you all were just sweating like pigs back here and how it was going to be 100 and 1,000 degrees when I got home. And indeed, yesterday lived up to that advertisement, but today is really quite wonderful.
You know, I spent all day yesterday and all day today, except for church this morning outside, and thank heavens for the Delta breeze. It's warm, yes, but it's really nice.
Let me tell you about warm. We were back on the East Coast, and at this time of the year, it tends to rain about every other day. We were on Cape Cod. I know I won't get any sympathy for that, but Cape Cod is nice because it's close to the water, and so the humidity isn't as much of a factor. But when it gets to be even 77, 78 degrees this time of the year, people from California start to melt.
Oh, bless your heart. You were hot, and it was 77 degrees.
It was 77.
Yeah, you're not going to get any sympathy for that.
No, well, it was humid to us, those of us from California. It was humid. And, you know, if it rains a lot, why then, and the sun comes out, why it gets immediately humid. And those folks are used to that, but they glisten. We sweat.
Right on.
That's the difference. All right. It's this part of the program when we shoot by you the travel news. So here we go. U.S. Airlines have rejected a smaller carry-on initiative. We talked about this on the travel news last week, that IATA, which is the International Air Transport Association, had suggested that slightly smaller carry-on bag dimensions would help everybody's bag fit very comfortably upon an airplane. It seemed like a very logical discussion. International airlines fell quickly in line behind it, and most of them said that they could support something like that. Of course, it would be important to point out that international airlines' carry-on bag sizes are already slightly smaller than they are for the U.S., so this would have actually been a slight upgrade for their carry-on bags, a slight downgrade for U.S. carry-on bags. However, the Airlines for America Association, that is A4A, one of the many lobbying groups for the airlines, has decided that the American airline industry is not in favor of this particular proposal. They say they reject the recent carry-on size initiative put forth by IATA because it is unnecessary and flies in the face of the actions of U.S. carriers who are taking spending $1.2 billion, B with a billion, dollars a month to roughly including larger overhead bins to invest in the customer experience.
You know, I fly as much as you do, Mr. Mark. Uh-huh. And I have not experienced that, those enhancements.
The $1.2 billion?
I haven't even experienced like $1.20's worth.
Well, but let's confess, the overhead bins on many of the newer planes are larger.
Yes.
They are bigger. They hold more stuff. God help you if you ever get into turbulence and one of those suckers comes loose. But nonetheless, it holds more stuff to start with. So that part is certainly true. The money that they're spending on new planes with new overhead bins and less legroom, which necessitates the need for larger overhead bins because you're cramming about 18 more people onto each airplane. But nonetheless, the airline, do you know the airlines have, Clayton, more lobbyists in Washington, D.C., other than the gun lobby? Congress people will tell you that after the gun lobby, the airlines are the next in line in terms of power. Something happens that they don't like. Congressmen's phones are ringing at 8 a.m. in the morning all over Washington, D.C.
Well, I don't doubt that. And since a vast majority of those congressmen are dependent upon, you know, the airlines to get back and forth between home and work.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can't bite the hand that flies you across the country.
Yeah.
Too terribly hard.
Ask the two local congresspeople, though, after United stopped the nonstop to Dulles for about 4 months over the winter. They weren't huge fans. Of course, I'm sure they got back on it as soon as it started up again, since nobody else offered a nonstop tour from Dulles. All right, moving on here to hotels. New from Hilton, for the next 3 weeks, Hilton is offering a great deal. Their summer promotion for their frequent travelers or Hilton Honors members was double points. For the next 3 weeks, if you stay in a Hilton hotel and you're a Hilton Honors member through July 6th, you'll get a $5,000 per night bonus. So that is a pretty good deal. The double points was not so much. But if you're going somewhere and you're a Hilton Honors member in the next few weeks, you'll want to be registered for this special promotion and get the extra 5,000 points, because after all, 5,000 points is enough to stay a night in a Category 1 hotel if you could find one.
If you can find one.
Aren't very
many. I personally
many,
have never, ever found one.
Aren't very ever. Many of those alive. You can get 80. Speaking of Hilton, you can get 85,000 point bonus for getting a Hilton credit card. From time to time on this program, when a credit card bonus is something that we think you should pay attention to, we mention it. We don't get any commissions or credits or anything for having you sign up for a credit card on this program. We're completely non-biased. But this is a pretty good deal. 85,000 points. You have to spend $3,000 in the first 3 months of your account approval after approval in order to get the bonus. 85,000 points, they mention here, will get you 17 points at a Category 1 hotel. Clayton will dispute that, but it will get you 4 nights at a Category 3 hotel.
That's more reasonable.
Which is more reasonable. And so if you're not already a Hilton Honors member, or even if you are, if you're looking to add to your credit card portfolio, the Hilton card might be a good choice right now.
Now, Mark, is that a free card or is there an annual fee?
There is an annual fee, good question, Clayton, of $75 a year. Princess is having a cruise sale this week. They are putting offering 50% off the fare for the second passenger in a cabin on sailings of up to 5 nights in the Caribbean and along the West Coast. Some of those are repositioning cruises at the end of the Alaska season, so some of them are already at a good price. So if you could get 50% off the next passenger, effectively 25% off for two people, that would be a pretty good deal. So Princess Cruises, that sale is good through July the 7th. And speaking of cruise ships, Carnival Cruise Lines on Monday ordered 4 new ships that will hold up to 6,600 passengers apiece, making them the largest cruise ships ever to sail the high seas, beating the old record of 6,300, which was held by 2 of Royal Caribbean's Oasis-class ships. Oh, joy, getting on the ocean with 6,599 of my very best friends.
Yeah, that's bigger than the entire county I grew up in, and I thought it was a pretty big place.
Wow, 6,600 people on the open seas. That's just an amazing, but let's admit that when you have that many people on board, there are a lot of activities and things that you can offer that would normally not be available on smaller sized ships.
That's true. You have critical mass,
yep.
So you can do bigger events.
That's it. You can have better shows and bring on bigger entertainers, and you can have more restaurants with a surcharge than you would normally have.
And but if they still have just one innie door and one outie door, just think how long that's going to take.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I don't do large cruise ships.
Nor do I.
I just don't. I have small cruise ships, yay. Large cruise ships, nay. Just a personal opinion. California has ruled that an Uber driver is an employee in an important decision last week for the ride-hailing service. Uber is an employer, according to a ruling by the California Labor Commission. This is a pretty big deal. For those of you who are in business, know this. Or those of you who are private contractors know this, the state of California is pretty picky about what defines someone who is an employee and someone who is not. By saying that drivers for Uber are perhaps employees of the company, it means that things like Social Security and unemployment insurance and things like that come into play where they wouldn't before. Those are a lot of expenses that Uber has managed to avoid so far. So we will see. Uber says the California Labor Commission's ruling is non-binding and applies to a single driver. is contrary to a previous ruling by the same commission, which in 2012 decided that a driver was an independent contractor and not a bona fide employee. So we'll keep an eye on that one and see what happens. Uber, pretty much in the news every week, and ride sharing will be a part of this program as Jeff Knox will join us, our newsman, after the bottom of the hour news. Jeff is a part-time driver for Lyft, and we'll talk a little bit about ride sharing services and the people who drive for them and what they make and what they don't make and what the experiences are like and stuff like that. So if you're interested, if you've never tried one of the ride sharing services, Jeff will join us at 3:35 to talk a little bit about it. And finally, Clayton, wrapping up the news, I wanted to mention Barbara Boxer sent out a note last week, an email. I assumed everybody on her email list, or maybe all registered voters, I don't know who got this, but it was a reminder just about protecting yourself about on your credit cards and your credit card accounts and stuff, keeping an eye on them. And so it cautioned me to remind people who are listeners to this program who might have frequent flyer or frequent guest programs. Those are being hacked into on a pretty regular basis now. So it's a good idea every few months to check all of your points and your miles and all of those things and make sure that everything is exactly the way it's supposed to. And you mentioned even the thought of changing your password on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah, they say we should do that every so often.
I have a hard time remembering my passwords as it is. If I started changing them all every 6 months, as they suggested, but I'm okay with every few years or having some rotating passwords or something like that. Anyway, that is the travel news for today. Coming up after the break, we are going to take you to, across the pond, so to speak, to a mythical place called Downton Abbey. Does it exist or does it not exist? It's a very popular PBS series, which next year will make it to its sixth and final, I understand, season. We'll take you to Downton Abbey and also to a little island in the Great Lakes, just off of the coast of Michigan, called Mackinac Island, which has a Living History weekend of its own in September. It'll be Living History time here with the Travel Guys. Happy Father's Day to everyone. We'll be right back. You're listening to News Radio KFBK.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK with your hosts, Mark Hoffman, and I'm Clayton Whitehead in for Tom Romano.
Welcome, everyone. If you are out somewhere around Sacramento, thank you for tuning in to us. We'll be here until 4 o'clock, and we are here to make you a smarter traveler and a smarter ride sharer, as Jeff Knox of the KFBK staff will join us after the news at the bottom of the hour. And we're going to talk, Jeff drives for Lyft, and we're going to talk a little bit about what it's like to be a ride sharing driver. You know, Clayton, about a year ago, we sent Tom out one day from the studio, sent him out in a Lyft ride. I don't know if it was which one was out and which one was back, but it was Lyft and Uber. We sent him out in one car and back in another and talked to him all along the way and stuff. And we talked about how maybe we should do that again.
Yeah, I was listening to that show. It was good radio.
A year ago, it was kind of a fairly new thing on the block for a lot of people. But now it's become, you know, there are people in the travel industry that I've been at a couple shows lately, and they don't call taxis anymore. They just hit the Uber button on their phone.
I have friends who live in Manhattan and San Francisco alike who use it exclusively. They don't own a car. They don't use taxis anymore, Lyft or Uber.
Yeah, well, and so Jeff will be here to talk to us a little bit about that. If you've never used a ride-sharing service, why, then you will probably find this to be an interesting conversation. And if you are a driver, why, you'll get to hear what a fellow driver has to say. All right, it's about 3:20. Clayton, I wanted to just talk a little bit about Downton Abbey. You know, about 5 years ago, PBS started a new series based on a castle in England and the people who lived / worked there. And it has turned out to be the largest hit for PBS in the history of
Absolutely.
Public broadcasting. I understand next year is going to be their final season.
Sadly, season six is season last, and that will air next January and February.
And a season like a Downton Abbey series is only, what, 8 or 10 programs?
Exactly.
Something like that. So so the season for this year has already aired, probably will air again at some point.
They'll replay it during the summer.
Okay. But Downton Abbey is a mythical place, yes?
It is. Julian Fellowes wrote the story that inspired Downton Abbey and has been very active in all six seasons of script writing as well. But it is a mythical story, mythical people, but obviously filmed in some very beautiful real locations that are scattered throughout the metropolitan London area.
So the series and the show itself is meant to mimic, perhaps, it's a period piece.
Yes.
It's meant to mimic a period in time in England at this particular castle.
Right. Post-World War I in England.
Okay. So in the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And you can visit this castle, I understand?
You can and you can't. It's not a house museum. It's not like the Governor's Mansion downtown, which, by the way, is currently closed. I walked by it the other day and there's a big sign on front. I think they're doing some renovations. But it's not a house museum. It's actually a private home of the Earl and Countess of Caravan. And I'm not really sure how
so
they're connected to royalty.
So someone lives at Downton Abbey.
Yes.
And it's not actually called Downton Abbey in England.
No, its real name is Highclere Castle.
Ah.
And it is a private home on a large agricultural estate.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it has been very good for the Earl and Countess that it has become so well known and loved by English folks and Americans alike. I'm sure a lot of money is now probably going into restorations and other projects.
So can people go to this Highclere Castle?
You have to have an invitation. So, I do a lot of volunteer work at our local PBS station, KVIE, uh-huh. Television uh-huh. Worth Watching.
Okay.
And I wrote a letter about 3 years ago and told them about all the great things we do as a company and that I do as a volunteer for Channel 6 and implored them to give us a date, a reservation to come, and actually to extend an invitation.
Okay.
And that invitation was extended March of last year. And it was ironically for my 52nd birthday, uh-huh. August the 11th, 2015.
Okay.
So I have built my whole visit around that invitation.
I see. So you were invited to Highclere Castle, and you are now going to take some of your traveling friends.
Exactly. A group of sports leisure travelers and a few friends and relations will be going over to England.
So what do you do when you go to Highclere Castle? I mean, do you just tour the castle? Are there other sites that you see?
From what I understand, we'll be spending about 4 hours there. So it'll be a house tour of the various public spaces and bedrooms, places that are used for filming.
So kind of like maybe a tour of Hearst Castle.
Exactly.
Might be an example
and
of this.
And I'm certainly assuming that we're going to get to go downstairs and see some of the servants' areas because, that's part of the magic of the show is that it's not just about the rich people or the working people.
Now, do you meet people who are involved with the show, or this is just the tour of these sites?
This is just visiting the actual home where it's filmed.
Okay.
And then we'll have time to visit the estate around it. Some of the buildings on the estate, I understand, are used as filming locations, as well as a number of the villages that are nearby.
How interesting. So you are taking a group of people in early August?
I am.
And is this tour completely full, or can people still go with you if they want to? Or?
The trip operates August 8th through 17th.
Okay.
And we haven't spoken much about it for a long time because it's been sold out for a very, very long time. But we have just had a few cancellations.
Okay.
So if anyone's dream is to see Highclere Castle or Downton Abbey in the flesh. This is an excellent tour, and folks can learn more on our website, which is sportsleisure.com. There's also a link through the Travel Guys website.
Okay, so if you go to travelguysradio.com, you could find out how to visit Downton Abbey on your very own this summer. You could see it before the sixth and final season.
Indeed.
And be a part of living history yourself. I wanted to mention, Clayton, while we're talking about Downton Abbey and Highclere Castle, this fall, the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island, which is another, perhaps not quite a castle in a sense. I know Mackinac Island is a favorite destination of yours, but certainly the Grand Hotel is pretty close to a castle.
Absolutely. It was built in 1888. It was at that time the largest hotel in the world. Today, it boasts the longest front porch in the world at 660 feet long.
So I am going to take some people to Michigan in September when the Grand Hotel has its Great Gatsby weekend, which is kind of that same period, right?
Absolutely.
Isn't it? We're talking
Absolutely.
About the Roaring Twenties here?
Roaring Twenties, when America the whole world kind of came back to life
and we're gonna
after World War
I. We're going to go to the Grand Hotel and stay 3 nights there, and there are going to be a bunch of Gatsby events. So you can go, and I think probably as the tour leader, I will be forced to be a participant. But you can go and watch other people get dressed up in the 20s period and just sit around and have a good time, or you can participate yourself. So it's kind of a fun time to be, because I'm thinking the hotel sort of comes to life. Because the Grand Hotel, and folks are familiar with the movie, which is escaping me right
Somewhere
now.
Somewhere in Time.
Somewhere in Time.
Christopher Reeve, James Seymour.
Right.
The most wonderful love story of all time.
And if you are familiar with that movie, it is an opportunity to kind of relive that piece. So I thought of that because we were talking here about Downton Abbey and Highclere Castle, and that's kind of another example of history coming to life. These are kinds of things that people, these are the kinds of travel experiences, I think, that people are really into these days, because television has taken them to a lot of places and created places like Downton Abbey. Now, here you're talking about something that's kind of make-believe. It's mythical, but it's about a period in time and the people who lived then. The Gatsby thing is, of course, a period of time that people lived through in this country. And
exactly.
Kind of a wild and crazy time in some ways. Prohibition entered into the scene then, and a lot of things were going on. I think, though, don't you, that when people travel nowadays, that they're looking for an experience. It's not just going someplace and learning about something, but it's having an extra connection to it.
Exactly. Things that are real and things that are unique to the area. I mean, nothing is more comforting than seeing a McDonald's after you've been, you know, in Russia for a week. I get that.
Yep.
But when I go on vacation, I'm not really looking for McDonald's or any other name I've heard of. You know, I want something that is unique. And a place like the Grand Hotel is absolutely unique to Mackinac Island, which is one of the most unique destinations in America anyway.
I hear what you're saying when you talk about, you know, just the McDonald's example. I was just on the Cape, Cape Cod, for the last week with a group of folks. And of course, in those little towns, in Provincetown, and then when you get out on the Cape in Martha's Vineyard, yuck, Nantucket, way better. If you're ever going to the Cape and you're trying to decide where to go, go to Nantucket and skip Martha's Vineyard.
But Martha's Vineyard has better architecture, don't you think?
I think the people there are just rude and hard to get along with, and I don't recommend anybody go there if it's for anything more than a few hours. However, in those small towns, there are lots of, they in many cases, they ban the brand names. And so you get used to these wonderful little towns with wonderful little businesses that are all making it. And one of the reasons they're making it is because they're not up against the corporate advertising, you know,
sure,
and they don't have to compete on the same level. So it's just kind of fun that some of those communities have had a lot of success. Some of them are very upscale communities, but not all of them are upscale communities. So in some cases, the little burger joint is still alive and well. So anyways,
and thankfully so.
Yeah, good luck with your trip to Downton Abbey. Go to travelguysradio.com if you have an interest, perhaps, in a trip to Downton Abbey this summer, or there's a link there to the KVIE website if you're just interested in finding out a little bit more about Downton Abbey. All right, when we come back after the news, Clayton and I will be here, and we will talk to Jeff Knox. And first, Jeff is going to give you the news. Then we'll come back and talk to Jeff about what it's like to be a driver for a ride-sharing service. And a little bit later on in the next half hour, you'll have an opportunity to call us and give us your favorite travel story involving your dad here on Father's Day and win a prize. We are the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK. We have your travel guy, Mark Hoffman, your tour guy, Clayton Whitehead, and we're joined by news guy, Jeff Knox.
Hi, how's it going, guys?
Hey, you know, Tom is not here with us today. He has taken Father's Day off. You're supposed to say, to my left is Mark Hoffman.
I'm sorry.
Because I'm always on the left.
To my left is Mark Hoffman, who has a face for radio. How about that?
Yeah. I've heard that before. Joining us is Jeff Knox. You'll remember him because you just heard him if you were listening to the news a couple of minutes ago.
I think he was the one who just competed for the World Surfing Championship.
Story about these 66 people, 600 and how many people was that again?
There were 66 of them on one surfboard in Huntington Beach.
I just heard there were 66,000 toes.
How long would that surfboard have to be to get 66 people on it?
You know, I think it's just a matter of them actually staying on there for just even a half a second, because I think the fact that they all get onto it at once, I don't even think they need to necessarily be
Is it on the shore? I guess it's on the shore as opposed to in the... This is turning into an entire investigation.
A custom board, 42 feet.
Jeff, when we were talking, Clayton, a couple of weeks ago, Tom and I were talking in the program about Lyft and Uber and Sidecar and all these ride-sharing services, and Jeff mentioned after the program, he says, you know, I drive for Lyft sometimes. And we said, oh, how interesting. And so I thought, Jeff, it would be great to have you on the program because more and more people are using the services of ride-sharing companies. And they are people who would not a year ago have even considered the possibility.
Yeah.
Many of my travel companions now, people, folks in the travel industry who would have only used the taxi before. Now they wouldn't even think about a taxi unless it was the only, the first option is now Uber or Lyft or whatever it is. And the second option is the taxi. You mentioned that you drive sometimes for Lyft here in the Sacramento area, right?
Yes.
And you've been driving for them for how long?
Really only since about late March, okay, early April. So not that long.
So for a few months.
Yeah.
But you also mentioned that you did some of this kind of stuff back when you were in college, kind of soliciting, you know, somebody to share the car going one direction and share
sure
the cost.
I grew up in San Francisco and went to school at UCLA. So to get back and forth when I was driving, this was the time when gas would be $5 a gallon. So with my little college budget, I would go on Craigslist, offer a ride to people in exchange for, you know, X amount of money for gas. And if I could get one rider, I'd have about half my gas covered. If I could get two, I'd have it all covered. If I got three riders, I was making a little money.
So you're so sharing your vehicle with somebody, like many other people your age, is pretty second nature. Tell me a little bit about this. Now, with you drive for Lyft, right?
I drive for Lyft,
and
not Uber, yeah.
So you, when you're on duty, you do what? You
I turn on my phone. I make sure my car's clean,
okay,
if anything inside.
Right.
And I turn on my phone. You have to apply to be a driver. Well, they'll background check you and make sure that your car's in working order. You do a test drive with a Lyft rep, and then they'll send you the stuff you need to drive, which is a little piece of paper that says you can go to the airport if needed, and a little emblem for your car. Then I just turn on my app. It will go into driver mode, and I'll drive around and someone will ding me and say, hey, you know, the app will tell me to pick them up if I so desire. You have 10 seconds to decide if you want to accept the rider or not. And if yes, you get the address of where they're going and it GPS.
Now, are there particular places around Sacramento that are good pickup spots for passengers,
yeah,
so to speak?
J Street tends to be a hotter spot. I don't know if that's just because of the younger demographic or the nightlife that appeals to it. I'll be honest, I tend to do more daytime driving for the morning commute in San Francisco. It's a lot more lucrative.
Wow. Yeah. So it notifies you that you have a call, that you have a rider, and you go. It tells you where the rider is. You go. You pick them up. Have you ever had any? Well, let's go with the positive first. Anybody get into your car ever who you thought, oh, wow, I know who you are, or anything like any celebrities or anybody interesting?
No,
or
celebrities. I did have someone who went to UCLA with me, was 1 year apart, and we had a bunch of mutual friends. Like, we had friends that I went to high school with in common.
Uh-huh.
And so we made ourselves Facebook friends right then and there. Have yet to party with the dude, but he was very nice, and, you know, with the same circles, I'm sure we'll kick it again.
So have you ever had, flip the other side, have you ever had somebody get into your car and not be such a positive experience?
Normally not a problem, but I did have a language barrier for these two people first trying to find out where they were because it was an apartment complex, and they gave me a corner, uh-huh, the intersection where it was.
Because you don't talk to the, that's the thing, for all
can.
Of you, those of you who haven't used ride-sharing services,
they just
right,
give you an address.
It's an address, it's not done, the communication is not verbal.
Correct. However, there is a button you can press to call the person. Your phone number does not show up. It goes through a Lyft number that then redirects to who will be riding. And so I tried calling them, and I'll just be honest, they had a very thick Indian accent and did not speak English very well. So I was trying to coordinate where to pick them up because the address that I went to that Lyft gave me, mm-hmm, they were not there. I had a locked gate of an apartment complex.
So it's so the fact that it is a nonverbal thing does on occasion, and I've had a couple situations with Uber where it's like, hey dude, I'm on this corner. Well, here's where I am, and you know, you're not here, and that kind of thing. Have you ever had anybody get into your car who was less than desirable?
Yeah, sometimes, and this has only happened once with Lyft, there's a smell. Certain cultures, I think, don't value a certain odor as much as most Americans I know, and that's okay. It's our cultural expression, but at the same time, I've got upholstery, not leather, and it's harder to clean that car. And then the smell came out after a day, but one time back in 06 when I was doing the rideshare thing and just, uh-huh, giving random people off Craigslist a ride, I had about four, I don't want to say transients, but they look like they'd be in a little folk band, and you know, the people that are a little bit dirtier, the weird haircuts, they'll be on the side of the freeway just kind of kicking it.
Just bathe on Saturday and today's Thursday
if they
kind
bathe,
of thing.
Yeah. Well, there was a guy named Ezekiel who had me pick up him, Zachariah, and I can't remember the other guys' names. I'm not
all
sure.
Biblical characters.
characters, no doubt.
I think so. And they had me take them to Las Vegas. Well, 5 hours in the car, because this was from LA at the time. 5 hours with these guys and their smells in my car, and that did not come out for a week.
But in driving for Lyft, you haven't had situations
just
like that.
Just one where they kind of smelled a curry, but it wasn't too bad. It came out after a day, and again, they were very nice. It was just the smell and the language barrier, and it's all good.
So I have a question for somebody who has never done Lyft or Uber. Where do I start as a potential consumer? Do I have to load an app, or is there a phone number, or what?
Yeah, it's app only as far as I know. So download the app. I think it's on both. I know it's on iPhone. I don't know if it's on Android yet. I assume it is. And you just download the app, and then you can sign up and get a ride.
Yep, that's it. I mean, literally, Clayton, you could get a ride 5 minutes after you put it onto your phone. It's a fairly simple, and dare I say, even for somebody who isn't technology based by birth.
He's looking at me.
No, I'm talking about I'm talking about me. I figured it out fairly easily, and after like one, I think the first time I did it, I had three cars show up or want to show up or something like that because I misfired something.
Oh,
but
geez.
It was easily worked out, and it wasn't a big deal, and it is a very effective way of getting a ride. The only thing I will say is with Uber, you have to be careful because they have what they call peak period pricing. Do they do that with Lyft also?
There's a bit of a surge, yeah.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Where sometimes if the number of people who want cars, if the demand exceeds the supply, the price goes up, which is fair. But it's a very simple tenet of business. But what happens is that you could pay 3-4 times, and now it's no longer competitive to a taxi anymore, and you might have been better off to have considered getting a taxi in some of those situations.
A taxi, or there's another ride-sharing service, an app that I can't remember what they're called, but they don't do surge prices, but their prices are always more expensive than the bottom lines of Uber or Lyft, spelled L-Y-F-T. So that's how I'm sure they average out their money, is it's always more expensive.
And we haven't talked about Sidecar here today, which is another service that's also available in some cities. I see here just a little note in looking at the Uber story about the private contractor and stuff like that last week, that Uber is being asked to leave the Hamptons.
Really? I actually called Uber for a comment. I was on that story, and they only would have a spokesperson who would leave a written statement saying the ruling from the commission's board, the labor commission's, was contradictory of a 2012 ruling that said that it was.
Let me fill you in, Jeff. When you're trying to get the folks from Uber on the phone, we've been trying to get them on the phone for over a year, and they won't talk to you.
They don't pass the sniff test?
No, they don't. They don't. Jeff Knox from KFBK,
thank you so much.
Jeff, for being a part of the Travel Guys and filling us a little bit. Hopefully that helps some of the folks like you, Clayton, and other people who might use ride-sharing services maybe feel a little bit more comfortable.
And how is it that I pay? Do I put my credit card in at the beginning?
Yes.
So it's part of my app?
When you sign up, you have put in your payment information, and that's how that works.
And if you ever have a problem where they accidentally charge you, or the ride doesn't show up and they still charge you, you can just email Lyft right through the app, and I've never heard anyone have problems getting reimbursed.
Yeah, I've never had any problems.
How's tipping work?
That is, go ahead, Jeff.
It's completely optional, and I'll be honest, people do not tip as much as I expected. Like, you know, whenever I take rides, I'll always tip. Cabs, same thing. Driving's been a different experience.
Yeah, well, it's maybe people feel like the tip is already included, you think?
It's not. No, honestly, I think what it is if you're going to use a ride-sharing service, you're trying to save a few bucks, it would make sense that you're not going to tip, and if you're going to tip, not that much.
So as we try to make
pennies.
You a smarter traveler here on the Travel Guys, if you're using a ride-sharing service, it's still okay to tip the driver.
Always okay to tip.
All right, thanks, Jeff. When we come back, your chance to win a prize by sharing with us your story about traveling with your dad. It's Father's Day, so we thought we would save the best for last and take the last segment of the show and hear some of your stories. You can call us at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. That's 916-921-1530 or 834-1530, 800. We'll take your calls and hear your stories when we come back right after this.
If you ever plan to motor west.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys on KFBK. It's Father's Day. If you have a travel story involving you and your dad and you would like to share it with us, you can call us at 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. That's 921-1530 or 800-834-1530. Clayton, you said you had a story that you wanted to share.
I do, Mr. Mark. As many of our listeners know, my own father kind of left my family and when I was at a really young age, which is kind of a bummer. But working in travel all my life, primarily with mature adults, I have had lots of surrogate fathers and grandfathers who have taken me under their wing and taught me great lessons over the years. And one in particular comes to mind. He was with me on my last trip, in fact, to Mackinac Island. And it's a gentleman who I just love dearly named Bob Bellows. So a good shout out to him up in Carmichael. Hopefully he's listening. But Bob is a Navy veteran and has told me just these incredible stories over the years of his time of service during World War II and in the years following, and many years living on Guam, and just great stories. But anyway, this is why I love Bob. He didn't have any kids of his own. And he has said to me on more than once that he wishes that I was his son. And that is about the sweetest thing
what a
kid
compliment.
Can hear.
Yeah, exactly.
But somewhere along the line, I decided that I wanted his Navy medals. He doesn't have anybody to give them to, and I wanted them. Uh-huh. I don't know why I wanted them, but I wanted his Navy medals.
Uh-huh.
So I kept bugging him and bugging him and bugging him that I wanted him to give me his Navy medals. And you know what? For Christmas a couple years ago, he gave me his medals. So on Halloween every year now, when I go out as Cracker Jack Man, I wear the medals.
Wow. How cool is that?
And I just love this man, and I appreciate him being like a daddy to me.
I think my best travel story with my father was the last time, a couple of years before he passed, which has been 4 or 5 years ago now, all of his sons, his four sons, all who had different mothers, but that's another story for another day, but all gathered in St. Louis, and we took Dad to the ball game, and actually to a couple of ball games over the course of a weekend in St. Louis, because Dad was a big Cardinal fan and stuff like that. And we went to the ball games, and being able to just, you know, baseball is such a wonderful, sport because it allows you to, you can have a conversation during a baseball game. You don't have to pay, you know, strict attention to everything. And baseball itself, the way it flows presents itself with conversational pauses throughout. So it was a wonderful opportunity to have, you know, 30 years of memories all condensed into two afternoons at the ballpark, and what better place to have them. And I'm sure a lot of people's best memories or best travel experiences with their father probably have to do with ballparks. Let's get a listener in here. On line one is Leno. Is that who I've got here in Sacramento? Welcome to the
Leno,
Travel
yeah.
Guy.
Thanks.
You have a Father's Day travel story to share?
I have way too many to mention. My dad has taken me everywhere. So I have to say first, happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. But the one story that I want to share that is, I think, the funniest with my father is he's a kind of an oddball collector of many, many things. And one of his things that he likes to collect is, like, toy guns. And in 2010, we took a trip to Italy together. and he got stopped at the airport in Pisa and alerted over the intercom. They called his name and pulled him into a back room to open his suitcases.
Oh my goodness! Because
it was just a bunch of toy pellet guns from the 1950s and all these vintage collectibles and Americana collectibles. Because he gives them away as gifts in Italy, and it's just this. It was a really, really funny thing to see all these armed police officers, and they're really serious in Italy. You know, come out of this dark room laughing about it. It was quite the amazing experience.
So now your father's on the TSA list of known terrorists, right?
I hope not.
that's a great story. So that was Italy, you said, that you went to?
Italy, yeah, but he's taken me all over. I mean, he's showed me the highest peaks in the mountains here in California and some of the deepest rivers and some of the coolest places. So just love my father and my father's father before him. So just thought I'd spread a little love today.
Thank you. Thanks for calling in and sharing. What a cool story.
That's awesome.
What a cool story. Mr. Romano, by the way, is not here today because he is at the Romano residence hosting a couple of generations of dads and uncles and fathers from across the street and all that kind of stuff. So he is the head of the clan today, and that's why Mr. Whitehead is here filling in for Mr. Romano. Clayton, I wanted to tell you about this. This is kind of an interesting story. I saw this earlier today when I was putting together news stories for the program. This is This is an adults-only summer camp, and these are becoming more and more popular across the country. This one is called Camp No Counselors. And it is just one. There's another one called Camp Throwback, where you go and have fun and do the kinds of things that you perhaps did as a kid during the day.
And do you have to keep your clothes on?
At camp? Well, during the day you do, but some of these camps are perhaps, shall we say, clothing optional after the sun goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And they are becoming immensely popular around the country. They are popping up all over the place. There were only five of them a couple of years ago, and now they're, if you Google adult summer camps, the list goes on and on and on for pages and pages and pages.
You know, I have a 100-acre cattle farm in North Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to invest?
You could go to a Musicians Institute in Hollywood hosts rock and roll fantasy camp for $2,000. Now, not all of these are sex, booze, and rock and roll. Some of them are like you could go to baseball fantasy camps and play ball with old baseball players, with guys who are retired generally, and have a good time. And it sounds like here's a rock and roll camp. Here's one for the arts near Traverse City that you can go. But some of these are definitely adult-based camps. So, I mean,
I like the sound of it.
It brings a whole new aspect to going away. Do these parents then send a note to their children from camp? Or
I don't know.
Remember that that song about camp years ago?
Hello, Mother. Here I am at Camp Granada.
Camp is very entertaining. Then they'll say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. Adult camp for kids. Camp No Counselors. Kind of cool. Got the story from CNN.com. Probably if you Google adult summer camps, you will probably have more information.
Oh, thank you. Perfect. And I think this is Alan Sherman.
Yeah.
Alan Sherman. I actually won an award on WSB Radio out of Atlanta because I could identify him.
Really?
Not from memory, but I had the record when I was like seven.
And they say we'll have some fun if it stops raining. All right. Good job, Luis. I'm not sure how you were able to find that so quickly, but good job. We should tell folks that our winner this week in the Sports Leisure Vacations drawing, the Travel Guys Radio Show, by the way, is brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, which also underwrites Rob on the Road on Monday nights on KVIE.
Television worth watching.
Every Monday night at 7 o'clock, is that right?
I believe so.
Rob's on at 7, and then that new show, We're Open, is on at 7:30. Yeah, about small businesses.
On the other K in my life.
The other KVIE.
KVIE, Channel 6.
Anyway, the Sports Leisure Vacations $100 winner, we have for the last few weeks, the names we've called have been calling in faithfully on Monday or Tuesday and claiming their prize, so we haven't gotten the jackpot off of $100 for a while. But it is back at $100 this week. B. Myers, who went with us to Portland a couple of weeks ago, is this week's winner. B., if you are listening to the Travel Guys today or one of your friends is listening and tells you about this, you can call the Sports Leisure office Monday or Tuesday and claim your $100 prize every week. We draw the name of someone who's traveled with Sports Leisure Vacations in the last 2 or 3 weeks and give them a shout-out and a chance to win a prize. Mr. Clayton, where are you headed for next?
England.
That's your next
yes,
trip,
Yes, Downton
huh?
Abbey is my next tour in August. I am going home for a couple of weeks between now and then to get my last little bit of beach time
and
in.
And we should remind
Savannah.
Folks who maybe weren't with us at the beginning of the program that you did talk about Downton Abbey and the fact that on a trip that's been sold out for a long time, it's hard to get space on those Downton Abbey tours. You have a particularly deluxe one that goes in early August. And so if folks are interested in going to Downton Abbey with Clayton, they should go to travelguysradio.com and check out the link there for the Sports Leisure Vacations trip to Downton Abbey. We will be back next week. Tom will be back in the chair with me. Ed Perkins, who was supposed to join us this week but was on an airplane, will join us next week. He's one of our favorite Consumer Reporter gentlemen, and we will be back here to make you a smarter traveler. Thanks for coming along with us this week. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Thank you, Clayton, for joining me.
A pleasure, Mr. Mark.
We'll see you next weekend on The Travel Guys.